Amen. Hallelujah. Well, let us pray. Father, we thank you this morning for such a sweet spirit in this environment that pervades this atmosphere, Lord, in this place, your tabernacle, that we come to worship and to fellowship among each other, Lord, and with you at the very center. We thank you that you have been lifted up within our midst this morning. And we do continue, Lord God, to lift you up even to what you're about to say now. We just thank you for your word. We pray, Lord God, that hearts will be open, that eyes will be open, that ears will be open, Father, to receive what you have to deposit deeply within our very being. We just give you this time in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, so much has happened already today, and it's always exciting to be here at Northgate. I always take this opportunity to add a little plug to say, if you ever miss one Sunday at Northgate, boy, you are missing out. Because the presence of the Lord pervades the atmosphere here every Sunday as He's been lifted up within our midst. And it is a community affair, right, where all of us are involved with fellowshipping among each other, lifting up the name of the Lord. Amen? Let's turn our Bibles to Isaiah chapter 12. Being fully aware of the significance of today, being Veterans Day, so much of which has already been spoken of, and Jeff, who did just an excellent job in communion, didn't he? Fantastic, the analogy of the military to Jesus Christ, who is our supreme commander in chief. Amen. And we look to him for our sustenance, for our help. He's our joy, and that is exactly what we're going to be talking about today. He's our everything. And something that Isaiah points out in Isaiah chapter 12, one of the very shorter verses in the book of Isaiah, it says, in that day, you will say, I will praise you, O Lord. Although you are angry with me, your anger has turned away, and you have comforted me. Surely God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. The Lord, is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. Verse 3 says, with joy, say that, with joy, say that again, with joy, you will draw water from the wells of salvation. Just ponder that for a moment. With joy, you and you and you, all of you, all of us, have an opportunity to draw from the wells of salvation. In that day, verse 4 says, you will say, give thanks to the Lord, call on his name, make known among the nations what he has done, and proclaim that his name is exalted. Sing to the Lord, for he has done glorious things. Let this be known to all the world. Shout aloud and sing for joy, people of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel among you. What a wonderful chapter, portion of Scripture. Starting from verse 1, in that day. What day is today? What day is that day? Is that day today? Has that day passed? Is that day somehow eschatological in the future? In that day, you will say, I believe that this particular day refers first to the believer every day. Every single day, our hearts should beckon to say, I will praise you, O Lord, even if you are angry with me. And it isn't just for the believer, but holding that thought in line with the believer, it is not just for the believer to say this because they have somehow done something wrong in the sight of God, and God is somehow angry at them. But it is a statement that reflects what our disposition and condition should be among each other. When we are angry with someone, and when someone is angry with us, that we could lift up our eyes and our heads and proclaim, I will praise you, O Lord, instead of being angry at the person. Our default should be that we are giving praise and honor to God, because out of the multitude of His mercy and grace, we have chosen to forgive that person. Forgiveness should be a finished work in the hearts of every believer, just as how salvation is a finished work. If we truly had grabbed a hold of the gospel, the salvation message, which carries with it all the compliments of Jesus going to the cross, that the guilt of our sin has been washed away, the burdens of our sins have been crushed by blood spilled on the cross, and that not only are we justified by faith in Jesus Christ, but we are sanctified because that sin no more has a hold of us. It is broken once and for all. Those are compliments and benefits that makes us the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. But added to that is a spirit that bears within us and bears witness, because we are His witnesses, a spirit of forgiveness. So the issue of forgiveness, like the issue of salvation, is a finished work. And so as we look at this scripture again, on that day, every day for the believer, we ought to utter and say, I will praise you, O Lord, although you are angry with me. And I'm somehow transliterating that to also include the fact that we could also hold grudges against people who are angry with us. And unforgiveness builds within our hearts as a result of that. It's okay to be angry. The Bible does proclaim, be angry and sin not. But we do not want to hold that as a grudge. Taking it quite literally, as it says, although you are angry with me, your anger has turned away. And so has our anger turned away from our brothers and our sisters. For the unbeliever, this is an inspiration to the heart that even in their sin and stupor, God would be angry with them, but they can also lift up their eyes. They can also lift up their heads and say, I will praise you, O Lord, because His anger has also turned away from them when they receive Christ Jesus. Surely God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. There are times in our lives that this takes a quite literal meaning. It's difficult to trust someone who has offended us. It's difficult to trust even a spouse who has brought us to wrath. It's difficult to trust co-workers sometimes on the job who has done ill will to us in one way or the other. It's difficult to trust at times. God sees that and knows that. But His beckoning call for us is that we trust Him. And as we speak this word, we can say prophetically, we can say, Lord, with all that is within me, I will bless you and I will trust you. I will not be afraid. I will proclaim it in my heart. I will live it day by day. I will trust you. It doesn't matter what my situation is. It doesn't matter the state of my welfare or well-being, or whether situations have occurred that allowed me to be happy, or whether situations have occurred that has led me to be unhappy. Regardless of that, Lord, I will trust you. Regardless of the happenings of the day, the happenstance that comes and goes, I will trust you. And I believe this is a reflection of what the state of our hearts as believers should be. Crying out to the Lord in our distress, in our peril, when we are going through stuff that we just can't handle, when diseases afflict our bodies and we don't understand, when things happen to us that we never thought would have, or we thought should have never had. All of that, and with everything that could be added to that, we could declare from our hearts that we will trust the Lord and not be afraid. Amen? And we can cry out, the Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. With joy, you will draw water from the wells of salvation. I thought about this. There's a scripture that says the joy of the Lord is our strength. The joy of the Lord, quite literally. That joy belongs to the Lord. That joy flows from the Lord. That everything we ever experience and consider joy is not of our own, but it is from the Lord that pours in us and through us and out to others. We experience happiness. That is a human thing. That is a temporary thing. As was said, when situations are right and the atmosphere seems correct and things that are happening around us is good, we get insatiated in a state of happiness. It is a human emotion that we can identify with. When things around us are going all awry and wrong, and we seem so aloof from goodness, the atmosphere around us just happens to be dim. It makes us unhappy because of the happenings of the day. That's what happiness and unhappiness is. It's a human emotion, and it is perfectly applicable and reasonable. But we do not mistake happiness with joy, because joy comes from the Lord. It is not a human emotion. It is a godly character that God Himself exudes. It is a part of the nature of God. And so when we experience joy, when we experience joy, we don't even have to say true joy. When we experience joy, we are experiencing a gift from the Lord that is flowing in us and through us. Amen? And the amazing thing that Isaiah grabbed a hold of is that with this kind of joy, with a joy that literally strengthens every ligament and bones in our body, strengthens our intellect and our way of thinking, our even our thought process, gets illuminated when the joy of the Lord penetrates us, because we have a different way of visualizing and seeing how things work, because we're gaining and gleaning and seeing the perspective of God Himself. Because Him, His joy, Himself, who is covered in perfect love, who is also joy, fills us to the core. So our own intuition, our intellect, fills us as the joy of the Lord pervades our heart. So with that kind of a joy, we will draw water from the wells of salvation. I like the way that this is positioned, because if you think of a well, generally you think of a hole that's dug quite deep, right? And what is generally stored in that well? Water. And back in antiquity and beyond, 2,000 years ago, 3,000, 4,000 years ago, and before, this was the usual way of life, to get sustenance in terms of quenching your thirst, to draw water from the well. And there are so many different references to water and to well. We learn even of the story of Jesus who encountered this woman at the well, and how when she left Jesus, she was totally transformed and changed. What we see is an example of a transformation that takes place when you visualize the depth of the joy of the Lord within you as a believer. And we experience that you can draw from a depth that is unlimited. That the joy that you could experience, your joy, which comes from the Lord, is not even limited to what you think you could have. Because it's not from you. It is not something that is even meritorious. You cannot earn it. It is simply a gift from the Lord. Just as your very faith to believe God is a gift from God. So this joy is like a well that has no bottom. And this is what I want you to catch. Every time you draw from that well, every time you draw from that well, every time you pull a little bit more, you pull a little bit more, you pull a little bit more, God gets a little bit more excited. Because He sees that you're desiring more and more of Him. Now think about this. Contrast this with any human being. Think of any one individual who you could borrow a little bit of money from or get a little help from. How many times, if I were to go to Tim each time and I'm begging him a little money, and then I go back to him and I'm drawing from him again, I'm begging him a little bit more money, and I'm begging him some food, or I'm begging him a ride, or I'm begging him this, or I'm drawing from him and drawing from him. What is that doing? Because his resources are limited, every time I draw from him, even though I know Tim is a wonderful, joyous human being, I know you experience a little bit of maybe annoyance. You might even want to give me a little bit of counseling, get a job or something like that. You know, you have a family to take care of, and you know, I know Timmy, he'd probably give everything away, including his life. But you know, it draws from our resources, and we feel it painfully in a very real way. And sometimes we can get annoyed. Sometimes we might have to gather the pastors and say, this person is not using wisdom. They need a meeting. They're drawing resources. But when you contrast that with our God, what you find is a beautiful analogy of drawing from Him. And the more you draw is the more He's desiring to give. The more excited He gets. Because the more He sees that you are, for the lack of a better word, into Him. The more He sees that you're desiring to go deeper. deep calling out to deep. You're digging a little bit deeper. You're desiring, you're wanting, you're chasing after. This is what excites our God. So with joy, you can draw from the wells of salvation. The wells that comes first from the salvation effect that we experience. From Christ going to the cross. It goes back to the cross and to the centrality of our whole faith. Jesus Christ dying for us. And in Him we find abundance. We find abundance in life. We find abundance of joy. We find abundance of grace and mercy and forgiveness. So, having experienced this and fully understanding this, verse 4, it says, today, and I'm translating it for today, and tomorrow, and the day after, and a year from now, on that day, give thanks to the Lord, call on His name, make known among the nations what He has done, and proclaim that His name is exalted. Make known among the nations what He has done. We have heard of His fame. We have heard of everything that God has done, even in light of the Israelites. But even if we just use this in the context of this unfiltered joy, this unconditional joy that He has unleashed on us, it's enough to make known to the nations of what He has done. Because it is a gift that in addition to our faith and salvation and mercy and grace poured out for us, it is what God is desiring for us to wear like a cloak. Just as we take on the robe of righteousness, just as how we are desiring to walk in faith and righteousness in Christ Jesus, we are walking in Him with joy. And we're making known among the nations what He has done. And then it says, sing to the Lord, for He has done glorious things. Let this be known to all the world. Shout aloud and sing for joy, people of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel. Turn your Bibles to Psalm chapter 36 and verse 9. We get another picture. Psalm chapter 36, verse 9. Of a welling up. Of God. For you, or for with you, is the fountain of life. In your light we see light. Here again we have a reference to water. Here again we have a reference to the fact that life given sustenance is produced through flows of living water, whether it be a well or a fountain. But water is generally indicative of the Holy Spirit, as much as fire is also indicative of the Holy Spirit. But it's a comforting feeling. Sometimes you go to little thrift shops or you go into a store and you look at these figurines and you see a fountain and water that's flowing. And it just sounds so serene, so peaceful. Water has this effect of peace. And our ultimate peace comes through the Holy Spirit and comes through the Lord. For with you is the fountain of life. A fountain that you can draw from however deep and find that there is more left to be drawn. A fountain that every time you draw from, you get life evermore. That it continues to open your eyes and your heart to the goodness of God. that is yours for the taking. Amen? One last verse. We go to Jeremiah chapter 2 and verse 13. Jeremiah chapter 2, verses 13, says, "My people have committed two sins. One, they have forsaken me, the spring of living water." God's heart is so passionate about us. And the statement made there is that He is with us. He's never left us or forsaken us. In fact, He's desiring us to be God chasers. If you look through the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, what you catch is a picture, especially after Genesis 3:15, where you get a picture of the fact that Jesus would come and die for our sins. You get a picture of the snake bruising His heel, and in the process, the snake's head is crushed. It's a picture of Jesus dying on the cross. After you move from that portion of Scripture, you can chase through the line, the messianic line, and what you see is that the moment that there was separation of man and God, that God has been on a quest. God has Himself on a quest to draw all man back onto Him. All creation. You see that in the forms of tabernacles and indeed the temple being built. You see there's a desire for God to be among His people as the Ark of the Covenant is built. You see all through Scriptures a lining up of the heart of God and Him on a quest to chase after broken hearts and separated hearts and a rebellious spirit, because He desires a relationship with you and I. And all these provisions are made for us to be back on track with Him. So His heart here is what you catch. That His heart is broken. They have forsaken me. They have turned to their own way. They have decided that I am no longer the one they should look to. They have forgotten where their refreshments come from, where their sustenance come from, how they are to be revitalized, how their wounds would be healed, how they would be refreshed. They have forgotten the spring of living water that flows even within them. They have forgotten me, says the Lord. And instead, they have dug their own cisterns, broken cisterns even, whose water just flows out, whose well is leaking out all over. Can you see the quest and the desire of the heart of God to fill us with an understanding of His nature and of His character, that His joy, which gives us strength, is upon His heart? And as we observe today a day of remembrance of all those who have given their lives for a cause, can we see how God is reaching out with His life and has given His life for a cause? That cause is you and I. And that cause is not just a cause of salvation, which has already been finished, but it is a continuance of being perfected in His holiness and righteousness, as we desire to walk with Him every day, as we desire to get to know Him a little bit better every day. Can you see the desire of the heart of God on a quest? Will we remember tomorrow and the day after and next week what really hurts the heart of God? What really pains His heart? What really grieves His spirit? Even as believers, and I'm talking about believers now, not unbelievers, but can we see as believers how we ought to be? Having this wonderful knowledge of how our God is. I know this past week we've been soaked with all sorts of emotions. And we get back into the human element where somehow some of us will feel happy because we've voted and the results have come our way. And some of us have a tinge of unhappiness, a human emotion again, because we voted and perhaps the person we voted from is a president. But that's besides the point. For any believer, yes, we ought to vote. It's our civic duty. But what is even more important than that is to be able to hear the heart of God. To be able to see what God is desiring to do in us. A president will not change our state, whether it was Romney or President Obama. God is the only one who can change our current state and can bring us in alignment to who He wants us to be. Can we make a commitment today that as believers we would endeavor to dig deeper into Him, to see into His very heart and say, "Yes, Lord, here I am. Use me. Father, I am ready and I'm available for You. There's nothing else that is a priority or more of a priority for me than to hear Your voice and for Your joy to fill me to overflowing. That for Your love to be so evident within my life that the person next to me and before me and behind me can do nothing else but notice the flavor that has resonated, because we are indeed the salt of the earth. And with it, we are seasoned for good use. And that is made perfect in every believer making a commitment today, that it will be our heart's desire to honor Him in everything we do, to look to Him for our daily sustenance. Let us pray. Father, thank You that, Lord, these are merely the words of my mouth, or the meditation of my heart. But Lord, may it be a testament of Your heart reaching out, the hearts that have already been filled to overflowing with Your mercy and grace that has been poured out afresh each day. I pray, Lord, that deep would call out to deep. Lord, that our hearts would see the yearning of Your heart. God, as one songwriter says, break our hearts with the things that break Your heart. And allow us into a deeper revelation of who You are. We just give You thanks. In Jesus' name, amen.